and say hello to Rob, our Californian Jew heartthrob. His podcast, so long lived and based, for classy dames he has a taste. Across the country's his friend Walt, with lazy zoomers in his vault, stacking jobs like Tetris toys, because he hates the other boys. They once crossed paths as younger men when each abhorred the Jews. Now middle-aged, they've bonded over weird autistic views. Platforms and acquired online fame, so now they force their fetishes upon the world devoid of shame.
I guess it worked for Tarantino.
Oh, Bismarck and Stark living large and free. One stacks his jobs and girlfriends, the other loves eating pussy.
Now,
Robert Stark here. I'm joined here with Walt Bismarck, and he's going to be interviewing me about the symbolism and esoteric importance of acts of oral intimacy. Walt, yes. So yeah, like we've been talking about some of this stuff a bit on Substack.
Big brain convo about eating pussy. This is going to be great. I'm excited. Okay, so I guess there's a lot of different aspects about this. One of the things that you had kind of mentioned is that oral sex versus, I guess, like vaginal sex, it used to have like different...
Yeah, it used to be taken much more seriously and viewed as much bigger deal, much more intimate, and that kind of changed. But yeah. I think what's important about it, I think... In many regards, it is actually more intimate, and I think the attitudes about it that people have are wrong. And I get accused of promoting degeneracy by sort of like tradtards and right-wing types, but actually I think it should be actually taken more seriously because of the esoteric significance. And I just want to say, like, it's an experience of consciousness, and like more of the senses are involved. So there's an aesthetic component and a very strong psychological component. And then also the importance is a symbolism of like the highest, one person's highest orifice being placed upon one's filthiest, what the face symbolizes as the house of one's senses, what you present to the world and what you experience. You experience the world with like your sight, your sense, your taste.
Well, then I gotta challenge you on this, Rob. So you said it's the filthiest orifice. So you're saying it's filthy. Filthier than the other one?
No, I don't think so. But I guess that's I don't know if we should go there, but that's an act too.
Well, yeah, but I guess I'm just saying I don't know, like that sort
symbolically,
of
symbolically, like what is like kind of in like there are these different what is it these different sort of like yoga points, like is it yoga or something in different like mysticism where there are these pressure points where energy comes in. And what like the mouth symbolizes and different body parts symbolize different energy and like esoteric, like mysticism.
Yeah. So was eating pussy like something that was done historically, or is it like a modern thing? Because like, I thought it was traditionally sort of like looked down upon or seen as like more of like more taboo than fellatio or eremacio, you know? So I guess.
Oh, right. I wrote about the Roman attitudes about it.
Yeah. Talk about that.
It was really taboo. And it was considered like the most disgraceful, shameful thing that a male could do in ancient Rome. But there were certain specific arrangements where it did happen.
Yeah. So like, could you elaborate on that? Like, is there anything in the historical record?
Some of it's saying like between high status women and very like low status men.
Like gladiators. Like the noble ladies would make the gladiators eat their pussy or something.
I hear stuff like that, but I gotta say, like, how much of that is like historical facts, and how much is this? A lot of this stuff, all these people, right? There's all this erotic fiction that kind of clouds like what is a historical fact. But I guess the argument would be that kind of arrangement, because like sexuality was so suppressed, but there was people with higher status had a lot of power over low status. I mean, I could see how that kind of arrangement could hypothetically happen.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder to what extent, like, I sort of have the impression that femdom in general is kind of a modern thing. Just
what's
like,
a male? I think the perception is a male fantasy.
Oh, yeah, so elaborate on that.
What can I say? I think based off this, just men are more kinky. I don't really have any.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of women. So, okay, like, I mean, like.
Women are more attracted to dominance. That's the other angle, too.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I think also, like, to the extent that women are into femdom or whatever, it's a kind of a modern thing. It's a very sort of fetishistic thing that women could only get into through porn. And, like, women, because they're more vanilla, they're not going to be exploring that side of themselves in a traditional apology. But, like, I mean, let's talk about what the face symbolizes, right? I mean, so, like, it's sort of like what you present to the world. So there's an extent to which it's, like, a more pronounced power dynamic.
Yeah, I think the power dynamic is huge. Even if a lot of people who engage in that act, they'll say it's just for maybe the pleasure or the feel, because it feels good, or the intimacy, like their loving relationship. So a lot of people engage in that and they don't really think about the power dynamic. But I think there is like a very hierarchical power dynamic.
When people act like a lot of this stuff is non-hierarchical or there isn't like a power sort of balance to it, like I wonder like to what extent we're all just speaking past each other or like to what extent these people are deluding themselves. Like, are they downplaying the importance of power in their own life because it's too terrifying to them and they're just like kind of just insufferably normie and they don't want to admit it? Or is it more...
Well, I think in the past when it was taboo, it was more taboo. There's more of a power dynamic because it's become so normalized. People don't even want to think about the power dynamics because of how mainstream it's become.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess like one interesting aspect of it is that, I don't know, like at least in my experience, like a lot of women like don't, like they'd rather give head than like receive it. Right. Like for a lot of women, like it's sort of, seen as like effeminate or like submissive. If you want to eat their pussy, and it'll sort of like throw off the vibe for them. And I feel like that's kind of like an important aspect to it. Right.
No, I think that, I mean, to be honest, I think that is true in a lot of cases, but I think it varies by different like personality archetypes.
Yeah, I think conservative women or women who have a high discernment impulse. Yeah, like women who are more conscientious, like they want to think of themselves as very clean or very, like I think those are the sort of women who probably wouldn't want to have their pussy eaten. Whereas I feel like liberal women were probably like, you know, like ones who are more comfortable with the idea of being dirty or being...
To be honest, like I found like Jewish women especially...
That's interesting. I guess I found that they like to give head, but they, I guess I haven't tested it out very much.
Both. Actually, I think it's both.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you think they're very, like, sort of mouth-focused in general? Like, that's where their sort of energy is? And
yeah,
it's like
verbal, like, high verbal IQ, and the verbal is, like, the mouth.
Yeah. Let's, so you'd mentioned Bill Clinton. So, like, one interesting aspect of that is that it was, like, non-reciprocal oral sex, right? And,
maybe he was going to, but she was on her period with Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, so have you read into this? Have you, like, looked into the, the details?
I read some of the details, like, there's tapes or documents on it.
Clinton seems like he would eat pussy, right? So yeah. I guess he doesn't seem like somebody who wouldn't, but do you think Trump does?
I don't know. Trump seems like the kind of guy who is too much of an ego, too much machismo to do that. I don't know.
And he's a germaphobe, right? Like,
he's a germaphobe. I don't think Trump does.
Yeah. No, I think...
RFK definitely does, which maybe explains his voice.
What about Bernie Sanders?
Probably. He's Jewish.
He's probably all he does, right?
I think with the Clinton era, like, it was, like, the generation who came of age, like, there was, like, it really happened around the time that particular act, I'd say, like, more Thalia was sort of being heavily, like, normalized. Like, do you remember the whole, like, oral sex, moral hysteria from, like, the early 00s?
Oh, like of girls getting like the bracelets or whatever, or, like doing the parties, yeah. the popsicles or, or the lipstick or whatever. Yeah. No, that's interesting.
What do you make of that? Do you think it's all urban legends? Do you think?
I'm sure a few people did it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure somebody did it, right? But it was probably like it happened like once or twice, and then it got like blown out of proportion. And then I'm sure like a few people like tried to do it, but then it probably like wouldn't really work out. And, you know, because I'm sure like the lipstick would like smear, and then like, you know, a lot of the guys would be too nervous to get hard because it's like their first thing. I'm sure like people tried to do it and it didn't work. But what about, okay, so have you heard like a lot of older women will be opposed to like swallowing? I think like around the time eating pussy became more normal, swallowing also became more normal, because I think in the past all women would just spit it out, and that was considered like you were a whore if you swallowed. Have you ever heard of that?
Sort of, but it makes sense maybe around the time that like porn was normalized in the 00s, probably.
Yeah.
Do you think that like a young guy who's kind of inexperienced, maybe not necessarily even in like an incel, would be really like traumatized and horrified if he could see like the kinds of like Claudio that maybe like the women or girls you get a crush on performed, like say, like in college? Like, do you think that would cause a lot of trauma if like lower status guys could see that?
Yeah, I guess like girls will do more. And see, here's the thing though, is that like in the woman's mind, she's not necessarily thinking of it as, oh, like the Chad is like so much higher, so that's why I'm doing all this more for him than like the guy she ends up marrying, who's like the beta provider, whatever. She doesn't necessarily even think of it that way. So I think too many incels will sort of like imagine women have a more malevolent. But the thing is, it's like women hate incels because like incels bring all those power dynamics out into the open, whereas women tend to sublimate them, and they tend to sort of like, you know, make them into something kind of cozier and less sort of oppressive. But I mean, it's absolutely true that women will just do much more and much more degrading things for a guy who's sort of higher status. So I think there would be that horrifying. I mean, but that's why I think women find it very important to sort of keep that thing kind of covered up. Like it's important to like keep it very discreet, and that's why.
I'm not saying obviously there's a lot of porn, but like there's a sense like porn stars are supposed to be degenerate and trashy. Like if the lower status guys were to see like their crush, who's like very respectable, doing something like that.
Yeah. No, if any of these guys saw what these girls,
do you think like POV Palladio porn could turn a lot of men bisexual?
No, I mean, like looking down to see the other guy's dick in the girl's mouth.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I would think that that's pretty, you're projecting yourself into his consciousness during that, right? Why? Do you think so?
Maybe with some people.
I can see.
I've heard that argument from feminists and social conservatives.
Oh, well, a lot of them say that it like, it's gay to watch another guy fuck a girl or whatever. Or that it's like makes you a cuck, but I think that's retarded. I mean, I think everyone who's watching porn is projecting themselves into the male actor, right? So I've never really lent that much credence. You were interested in like the class balance of this too, right? So we were.
Interviewing Ancient Problems, who I think you've also interviewed, and he was saying he's Jewish and he came from an upper middle class background, and he was saying when he was in college, there were these guys, like, they were probably, like, working-class Gentile guys, but maybe they had some degree of social status. Maybe they were athletes in college, and they were saying that in the locker room talk that Jewish women gave really good head. And he said, like, as a Jewish guy, he was sort of caught off guard by that. He didn't really think about that. But I think the hint was maybe there was some class dynamic about that.
I think one thing, okay, so with that in particular, I think that the sort of women who, like, there's always a selection effect, right? With both men and women, but, you know, in this case, we'll talk about women, like the sort of women who will sleep outside of their ethnic group or their race, they'll probably have certain characteristics disproportionately, right? That sort of give a certain impression to the guys who they're mixing with, right? So, like,
you're saying, like, Jewish women who sleep with Gentile guys are going to have looser morals is what you're saying.
Well, they might be more submissive, right? Or they might be into the whole idea of like being a conquered woman, or certainly like the Jewish girls I've been with, it wasn't necessarily like really racial until I made it that. But like, you know, they sort of went into that. But like, I think it's like sort of like white girls who hook up with black guys, right? Like, I'm sure like black guys who, you know, like have a certain, because I think it's like self-harm in a way when a white woman like sleeps with a black man. And I think that gives.
Do you think white nationalist incels would have trauma if they saw what was going on in those relationships, if they had like a view into that?
No, well, because the women who do are usually pretty low status. And when they're not, it's literally like some
kind of outliers.
Like, yeah. Like they're not the sort of women who are desirable. I mean, even to guys, like I'm someone who likes slutty women. And like, I still find that like undesirable when a woman is like slept with a black guy. Right. So, or if she, I mean, like, if it's in her past, it's like, whatever, you know, it's not a big deal. But if it's like, you know, something she's currently doing, like, I definitely view it as an act of self-harm. And I think just oftentimes it is a woman just sort of either wanting to punish her dad or wanting to punish herself. Like a lot of times women will hook up with guys they perceive as lower status as a kind of like masochistic thing. Like a guy who's like sort of brutish will just sort of like, I think there is like that kind of that orcish element to it. Right. So I think there's like some of that playing in there. And I think that with Jewish girls and Gentile guys, there might be something like that, especially if it's like a blue collar Gentile guy. Right. There might be this sort of aspect that he's like this, like rough, like a rough Irish or Italian guy or something. Like, I mean, I could see how that could sort of like create the same dynamic. Cause I was sort of like playing up my white trash elements with my Jew.
It's so weird, you know. Because I said, like, my one girlfriend who was Jewish, like, she thought, when she first met me, she initially thought I might be Jewish.
You seem pretty Jewish.
Seriously?
Well, I mean, you know, just being kind of like the word cell artsy, you know, like, in a different way than I seem Jewish, but, like, I could see it. Like, kind of like Woody Allen, you know, or, like, you know, like who are some of those other like directors or whatever? Like you definitely give off like a certain like intellectual like word cell sort of vibe. So I could see it.
Right.
You know, there's something like that there. So we were talking about like, so different demographics of whites, are they more or less likely to give or receive? So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I wrote an article about it, and there is some theory that it's a delay mechanism for the upper middle class. So one theory is that whites are much less likely to be like pregnant in adolescence than people of color. Mm-hmm. But there is this theory that whites from the upper middle class suburban background will delay intercourse, but they'll practice oral first, and that's something that it's not just a theory. I've read it in news sites that I referenced in my first article.
Don't they? I mean, I feel like they're just on birth control, or they're, you know, like they're just good with like, they're conscientious enough to like not.
Yeah, that's probably true too. But they're more like the sense they're quote unquote degenerate, but they're very good at managing it, and they're unlike the proletariat, like their degeneracy doesn't harm them in life, and they go on to, they're able to go on and thrive in life, which maybe seems a bit psychopathic, but it does work out for them.
It's totally true. Yeah, I mean, even like something like polyamory, right, or other sort of sexual subcultures. I mean, a lot of that I've just seen it, like, you know, like rich people, it's like they can just handle it like no problem. It's like not a big deal. Whereas like poor people, like they'll.
Well, I do think when the whole like the oral hysteria from the 00s happened, stuff you were talking about, like when Oprah was talking like rainbow parties, there were rumors that it was somehow specifically the upper middle class suburbia, which maybe was kind of like
meant, oh yeah, I have a theory on that.
to scare like boomers of that demographic who are relatively influential.
It's because like there's this idea of like upper middle class women as being like princesses who are like it all goes back to like the Victorian like cult of the child and the cult of innocence, which right. Sort of like influenced like subsequent ideas.
The media definitely like people kind of like Oprah really exploited that.
Yeah, and because here's the thing is that like almost all of our society is like based around protecting the sensibilities of upper middle class women, and oftentimes upper middle class women. And here's the thing about feminism: is largely a sort of complot to like secure the like comfort of upper middle class women, oftentimes at the like safety, at the expense of the safety of like working class women. Because oftentimes like upper middle class women will just like not want to talk about a problem because it makes them uncomfortable. And, you know, like in practice, it'll just kind of be like a lot of that libidinal energy, a lot of the sort of violent male energy will be taking out on like working class women. But it's like a lot of times they just won't care about it because they're very like sort of self-interested, and they, you know, they have this like very like purist like idea of like, oh, men should just like completely sort of repress.
If it were to happen, I think the idea that there is a secret like level of degeneracy in the upper middle class is really kind of like, it's shocking to people, and it sells like a sensationalism.
Well, yeah, because nobody cares if it's working class girls who are like, they assume they are already, right? Everyone assumes that the working class girls are giving head in the parking lot, you know what I mean? Like it's not a big, and like, oh, the working class fathers aren't, I mean, I'll just be candid about this. So like I was dating a girl like through a sugar baby thing like last year, and she, like her dad was just like aware of everything. She just like told her dad about the whole dynamic with me, and he was just kind of okay with it, because like from the, if you're like a working class dad, if your girl is like involved with a guy who's like a higher social status, like you're not, if you've ever seen like My Fair Lady, you know, there's a scene in the beginning where the dad like goes to like bargain with him, and he's trying to like this girl's dad did the same thing. He was like trying to get me to buy him a car and stuff. Like there's a certain, it's not like they're prostituting their daughters. They would never think of it that way, but it like, they're sort of okay with their daughters like using sexuality in a very sort of open way to get power, or to just like, you know, just pursue pleasure. I mean, like they don't think of them as that precious or that, I don't know, like needing to be protected from sex. Whereas like upper middle class, you know, like even if it's in a liberal framework of like, you know, pro-sex feminism or whatever, they're going to like be like, oh, you need to wait till you're 18. They're going to be like very moralistic about it in like all these like stupid ways. Right. And so, you know, like that's why they'll discourage like rainbow parties and everything. For the record, the girl I was seeing was 24. I wasn't an underage girl, but I'm just trying to like demonstrate, like there is a certain like level of extra protectiveness towards their daughters in the upper middle class.
But do you think there's any truth that oralism was more common in that demographic, the upper middle class, or you think it's just sensationalism?
No, I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true at all. I think, here's the thing is that I guess like in my experience, it's easier to get working class girls to perform like oral like very frequently, just because like you have more power in the relationship with them. But like I think in more sort of normal dating dynamics, I mean, I think girls just want to give you head if they like you. And they don't if it's a sort of, you know, they're sort of settling for you, and they, you know, or they have like a really high disgust impulse. Like I don't know how much of a of a class valence it has otherwise. Because I have been with a few upper middle class girls who like really fucking love giving head, and like they, in fact, the most recent, like she fucking art hoe, super upper middle class. She, I mean, she wouldn't let me eat her pussy, but she was like fine with giving me head. So I mean, a lot of girls, it's just, you know, a matter of personal preference. And I think for a lot of them, like they'll just see you as weak if you want to eat their pussy, but like they don't think much to giving a blowjob.
Do you think there's an archetype of like the male who gets a lot of that?
I mean, I think it generally just boils down to
high status.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say high status, but it depends. Like within different groups are high status within their own group. What about a guy who's like from the upper middle class, but say is like pretty popular?
I almost feel like he would be. Yeah, like okay. My instinct is to think that like upper middle class guys probably get the least head, right? And like unless they're specifically like dating like poor women, like in a sort of like asymmetrical context, because I feel like in upper middle class culture, well, I don't.
Who would you think in college?
In college, okay, yeah, if it's like a frat boy, okay, it depends on the archetype, right? If it's like when we say upper middle class, my mind instantly goes to like a computer programmer, right? And like I'm not thinking he's getting a lot of head, but it, like, yeah, if we're talking about like a frat boy, or like the children of the upper middle class who were already like popular and athletic, then sure, yeah, I think probably. But like generally, I'd say the professional class, like they're the most.
There are like plenty of like nerds in the upper middle class too.
Well, yeah, I'd say it's mostly nerds. I mean, like, here's my point, though, dude, is that if you read the book Class by Paul Fussell, who talks about all the different social classes, he mentions, and I think this is very astute, is that the upper middle class is the most androgynous.
They're most androgynous. So, like, the girl boss thing is very upper middle class. Like, really wealthy women are actually, they're actually more feminine than the women from the upper middle class.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not even that I would say that upper middle class women aren't feminine, because they can be very prissy in certain ways.
A lot of them are.
But I think the problem with them is more they're like HR, right? Like they'll go into there's a certain superficial femininity to it, but it's very it's like they're trying to neutralize any gender dynamic in your. And I think because of that, oftentimes upper middle class couples are almost performatively, like, you know, they'll say like my partner, you know, it's like very gross. But I mean, I think there's like that sort of aspect to it where it's sort of flattened. Has that been your perception?
Yeah. I've been around a lot of those people. I'd say that's true.
What's your background, by the way? Are you upper middle class?
It's a weird background. My family was middle class. I lived in a rich area in LA, but in on the west side of LA. But then I went to a high school that was pretty ghetto.
Okay.
It was really weird, like background. I wrote about that in my article.
I think I remember reading that. No, it's actually funny. I have a like sort of similar background, so I think that kind of it would make sense why you and I have fairly similar perspectives on a lot of the same things. So, okay, so that's interesting.
This is off topic, but like one thing that I found like weird about my, like, I went to a high school that was pretty ghetto, and I guess one thing that the thing that kind of radicalized me, it wasn't like experiencing like anti-white racism per se, but I noticed that the whites in the school were either like really popular or they were loners. And for some reason, that kind of radicalized me.
You think like whites are more sort of bifurcated, like socially?
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah. I mean, I think it's because for whites, like there's...
The school was less than, it was like maybe only five. I think on paper, it was maybe 15% white. And then half of that, those whites were actually Persian. So maybe the white population could have been like 5 to 8% if you don't count the... Like,
oh, okay. Yeah, so that's pretty. Yeah, I think my high school is probably like 50 to 60% white. So it's like, yeah, that's a totally different sort of. I imagine it just completely throws off the energy. It must be a completely different sort of world. I mean, were the white people like, did they kind of cloister among themselves, or were they like, was it? Were they more?
They're different. Well, there were the popular crowd, which was not. It was sort of weird because the popular crowd had jocks and it had theater kids in it, but it was about half white. And then there were some whites that were loners. And then some whites that mixed in with like who hung out more with blacks or Hispanics or Asians.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's interesting.
I was on the track team, and like my best friend in high school was like a Salvadorian Castizo.
Oh, okay. Were you a good runner?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm trying to imagine you running around. That's cool. Did you ever compete like at the state level?
Not at a state level, but we competed against other high schools.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. What runs did you do?
What runs the mile on track, and then cross country, where we went to like cross country races that were like several miles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's kind of cool. So you wanted to talk about like the political balance of this, right? Like is it a right wing versus left wing thing? To, you know.
Well, I do think it is really transgressive because in right-wing circles it is transgressive because I think a lot of the right hates me for talking about it and they view it goes against a lot of their like views on gender. I do think it's more liberal coded, to be honest.
I think some of it is like a sensibility that you just shouldn't talk about sex in public. But, you know, I find that funny. I enjoy it because I want to do the same thing. And it's sort of like you give me space to do the same thing, which is why I'm like doing this. So I think it's funny. But I think there's that.
I don't know. Everyone is so degenerate. Why not just talk about it?
I think, well, I have some perspectives on this. It's because everybody is very sensitive about like their sexuality, right? They don't want to be judged for their kinks or their, you know, fetishes or anything like weird that they do. And when somebody starts talking about it, like I find that there's a dynamic where like I sort of encountered this earlier in the year when I started talking about like my history with sugaring or whatever. Like some people will have a certain disgust impulse, but they want to seem like sort of like pluralist, like ostensibly. And like there's a certain dynamic where like you become sort of like quasi oppositional to one another because like everyone like turns their fetish into like a political orientation when it shouldn't be. It shouldn't have to be. Like we should all be able to just like fuck how we want. It's like, who cares, right? But like there's a certain aspect to which
it inevitably does because it is fulfilling some kind of like, even if it's a not reproductive act, it's fulfilling some hidden esoteric, some hidden Darwinian instinct in a kind of Freudian sense. So it ends up like, I think sex inevitably ends up being political. I don't know if there's this sort of classical liberal libertarian position where, as I says, it's not political. Everyone, as long as it's consenting adults, what they do in the privacy of their bedroom is their business and it shouldn't be in politics. But I disagree. Sexuality is inherently political because it's Darwinian and it hits at like these deep like biological factors that just really hit people on a visceral level that influence politics. I mean, I think when liberals say, like the Freudian liberal who says, like, they'll say the sexually repressed conservative is impacted by all these hidden subconscious sexual repressions or sexual desires. But I think all of that is totally true.
Yeah, I mean, I think the liberals are too, right? I think the liberals are afraid of their... I think liberals have daddy issues, conservatives have mommy issues usually. I think in liberal sexuality, there's a fear of like the patriarchal overbearing father. I used to wonder, like, why would a white guy ever become a liberal? And then I sort of realized viscerally, let me give you, like, this is kind of a long story, but I think it'll be instructive. So I was dating this girl a while back, and she was, like, 20 years old, really cute, Zoomer girl. But before me, she had been the sugar baby of this guy who's, like, a 60-year-old man who ran, like, a tech company. And he had this, like, harem of girls who lived with him, like, young girls who he'd, like, dressed them like children.
Like in their 20s?
Yeah. Well, a lot of them, like 18, 19. And he would dress them in like children's clothes, right? And have them all wear like a dog collar and shit. And I mean, it was pretty, pretty extreme. So she and I broke up and she went back to this guy. And, I sort of like saw him as my rival for a while. So I was trying to like at one point fuck the girlfriend of his son. And I found out that this guy's son is actually a tranny. But like he has a girlfriend. But like he's like a tranny, like lesbian with a girlfriend. And I learned about this guy's upbringing and his history. And it turns out that this guy, like when he was a kid, 18 years old, he's like my age now. But when he was like 18, he would see his dad fucking girls his age. And I can sort of understand how that would make you a tranny. It would make you hate like overbearing, like patriarchal masculinity that just like takes. Right. And I could see, or like if it doesn't make you a tranny, it makes you a guy who just wants to eat pussy or a guy who wants to sort of have that like mommy energy around you instead. Right. Because you view that patriarchal energy as like so evil and gross and bad. And I can sort of like understand that. So I don't know. It kind of like softened me on my own. It made me sort of move away from that world to an extent because I was just like, man, like I wouldn't want my son to ever grow up into that. I think that on the other hand, though, the sort of right-wing impulse comes from a disgust with the the nefariousness of female sexuality, which can be like subversive, which can be we were talking about it earlier, right? I mean, there's an extent to which like women will behave a certain way for guys they perceive as alpha, and another way for women they perceive as or for guys they perceive as beta. And
theory is that the reason incels are detested is because they reveal these hidden social hierarchical arrangements and dialectics that you're not supposed to talk about in polite society.
For a good reason, right? And I think that women, and like, here's the thing, is what incels don't realize is that like women don't even realize this on a conscious level. They realize it on an unconscious level.
And they're both, you're saying both, actually, so women, their response, it's subconsciously on a visceral level.
Yeah. It's like when incels start saying this shit, they're like disgusted because they realize they're bringing to light like power dynamics that really should not be openly discussed because it could be Like, you just like ruin everything, right? I mean, for them too, because women don't want to think of themselves as like hypergamous, like evil. Like,
they
like
to think of themselves as, I think, well, the incels think of, they think of women as being like malicious and evil, but generally, like, women like to think of themselves as being kind and compassionate.
Yeah, and they are. Is the thing is, like, here's the thing is, like, when a woman rejects like an ugly guy or a like low status guy or whatever, she's not, she usually doesn't like hate him. I mean, she will if he starts talking about power dynamics, is the thing. Like, that's what I found. But like usually when a girl says like, oh, just be yourself, there's someone for everyone, when she gives you those retarded platitudes, I mean, she actually does sort of mean it. But like, the thing is, it's actually better for a low status guy to hear that than it is to hear the red pill shit. Because like, if you're a guy who just is never going to be anything impressive, then, you know, like, you don't need to hear the red pills. And it's better to be told to be yourself. Like, you'll probably just end up with the best sort of girlfriend or wife if you just are, if women sort of maintain this like nice, cozy social infrastructure to keep up your confidence, right? It's actually quite bad, you know,
I think the manosphere red pill stuff for low status guys, I think in a lot of cases, it really harms them psychologically if they're too low status to exploit and benefit from it. A lot of them do get really screwed up psychologically.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's good for guys like us to an extent, but it's not good for just like some random, I don't know, like you need a certain IQ threshold and you need a certain level of agency and just like drive for it to be useful for you. And I just don't think it's, I mean, like even for some of the autis, I mean, like I found just in my own experience, like sometimes I'll hyperfixate on this stuff and I'll be thinking about like maintaining frame, right? To such an extent that, I mean, I've overcorrected in the past. I've driven women away, right? Because I was so focused on maintaining frame. Or sometimes, like, you'll be overanalyzing every behavior you do with a girl. And, like, you just need to, like, relax and just not give a shit. And, like, because there's an extent to which if you're like, oh, was that beta? Or, oh, was that, you know, did I lose frame there? It's like, that'll just make you, like, it's better if you just don't fucking think about it. And like, that's why part of the game is, like, pretending it doesn't exist. Part of like red pill dynamic, like part of doing this well is like never like mentioning it out loud, because like,
right,
that's like the lowest status thing you can do, and that's what I've always found the most annoying. That's always like fucking pissed me off the most about women, is that like they'll punish you more than anything else for just like talking about how they actually behave, and it makes sense why they do it. I don't resent them for it, but it's just like, it's frustrating because it's hard if you want to understand the world as it is, right? To just deal with that contradictory nature. But like, if they weren't like that, we would hate them a lot more. At the end of the day, so I don't know.
So what do you make of this proposal for incels being used by status women?
Your fetish fan fiction? Yeah.
I guess the analogy is some like Chads let lower status women do that. And I guess what I was talking to about ancient problems is his point is anything involving low status people is coded as low status, so it's hard to promote something as high status when low status people are involved.
Girls don't want to get their pussy eaten by like anyone who's low status. I mean, what they might do,
especially like imagine some like neck beard with like Mountain Dew, like sticky stuff, like all around their beard.
Now, okay, what I will say, okay, there's something adjacent to what you're talking about that can exist, and that is when a woman will she'll go diagonally across like a different status hierarchy, right, to sort of experiment, like you know, like maybe,
well,
like
I don't want to get too personal, but like this kind of arrangement, like I have some background to talk about it, but the thing is, I may be someone who was a gamma male but who had some kind of like social status through like the arts, which is a different, I don't want to put myself in the same category as like, I'm not like obviously like some incel chud, so it's a different someone who's a bit maybe gamma, but had social status being a more like artistic or creative person. So it's a very different archetype. I think it does work for different archetypes, but not.
So you're saying you leverage like an asymmetric sort of thing to get access to like higher status women than you'd be able to like ordinarily by using like kind of oblique strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't really want to give up personal information, but like I have experiences of this kind of arrangement working out, but again, it works for very specific, I think it does work for very specific niches.
See, this is the problem, is that, and I've encountered this too with my sugar baby stuff, is that when you have like a specific like lifestyle that like works for you and you've like figured out something that works for you, like other people, like they might just not have the personality type to even understand like what the fuck you're talking about, right? And then like they'll think you're being like low status or weird or like off put, just because they just don't get it. And it's almost like like there's an extent to which people will maybe like counter signal you because like they don't want to know about that world. There's an extent to which it's like if they're even like aware of what the alternate possibilities are, it sort of complicates their heuristics that like, you know, like allow them to sort of simplify like male female behavior and interaction in like a predictable way. And it sort of makes things too messy for them. And I mean, I think whatever you did, like it's clearly working for you. And like, you know, you can clearly leverage those. If you meet somebody or if you yourself have like a very specific sort of fetish and then like you can just be in a sort of community that's sort of like,
I think it works for sort of like those who are high, also like who have more traits and like mysticism for some reason, which it's hard to explain.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Like
I mean,
the shaman archetype.
So like shaman women, like they're getting their pussy eaten more?
No, the men who are sort of like shaman or have some esoteric mystic element to them.
Okay, I see. Do you feel like it naturally, like it's necessarily like a submissive sort of dynamic?
I mean, I hate to admit this, but I think I can feel that way, even though like there's things to promote it as like greater intensity. But to be honest, I think it can be that way if I can be brutally honest.
I mean, I sort of feel like the few times I've only eaten like a girl's pussy like maybe four or five times in my life.
It all depends on the circumstance.
But when I did, I mean, I like held them down and it was like an aggressive dominant act. It wasn't like, I don't think it like has to be submissive, but it's sort of in practice.
Did you find it gross at all?
You know, it's funny. It's my first girlfriend, yes, because, okay, this is going to be kind of, maybe we could put the paywall here because this might be a little TLDR. But so we were walking around Disney all day. Right. And then so like I didn't realize I should probably have her like shower first or whatever. But I feel bad because like for a long time I thought that she had just like a bad tasting pussy. But then later, like a few years later, I ate her pussy again. It was like fine. I was like, oh, you know, so I guess I just I was like young and, you know, whatever. The thing is, I found there's like no way to predict whether it's going to be gross or not. It's kind of like a luck of the draw.
Could the grossness be the fetish?
Wait, we'll say that again. You think the grossness is the fetish?
Could it be a fetish?
I mean, like, so do you think most guys who like enjoy eating pussy like enjoy like a strong taste, like a very pronounced?
I think it depends.
Yeah, but see, for me, I only like it when the girl has a very like natural, mild. I don't know, mild. But you know what I mean, right? Like not very. Like
I think it varies by ethnicity.
I've noticed Jews taste like sweet. Like weirdly, like, oh, yeah, but maybe it's because all the Jewish girls I've been with were like anorexic, and I find that anorexic girls like to eat like a lot of like sugary, they only like sweets for some reason, so maybe that like impacts it. No, I do find that Jewish women do taste the best. It's kind of like fucking weird.
What about someone on Substack said low status white men and like high caste, like Jitas.
Yeah, I have no idea about other races. I've only been with white girls and like maybe a few like castizas, but
what about black women?
Yeah, I would never. I mean,
Do you think that's inherently left wing
to eat a black woman's pussy?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's like communist. That makes you like fucking like Trotsky. Have you ever?
No.
What's the darkest you've been with?
Let's see, Jewish, like sort of castiza, East Asian and normal, like normal white, never Indian, never black.
Is there a difference between East Asian and white in taste?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like slightly, it's like cleaner, cleaner, but then it's also like slightly salty.
Okay. Cleaner. That's interesting. Do you think that's like is it a genetic thing or just our white girls, they have like worse hygiene?
Could be.
Like, okay, you know what I found is that like the few times I've hooked up with like a fat girl, I've never eaten a fat girl's pussy, but the few times I've hooked up with a fat girl, I found that they're like actually very clean, and I think that they're like more self-conscious about like
they have to be more to overcompensate. So the thing is, I've noticed actually like with ethnic women who are say middle class, I think they're more like they have something to improve, so they actually ironically. This goes against like racist stereotypes, but they have better hygiene when with affluent like white women.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like it's sort of like they're at the top, so they don't need to.
No, that's true. They smell. They're the ones who are the most likely to have BO or they have like a smelly pussy or whatever.
It's more having that arrangement with that demographic has a stronger power dynamic.
There's more of a seasoning. Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of the opposite of what you'd expect, but I found that like the working class girls, they would always like shower like really aggressively before coming to see me or whatever.
Or like, I found like Latinas, like especially.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like for them, that's a
really obsessed with hygiene.
Yeah, whereas like especially like actually wealthy white girls, like they just like won't shower sometimes. I mean, I actually had to like tell. Anyway, I won't say which one of my girlfriends it was, but I mean, it was actually like kind of off-putting. But it's like they probably like for them,
I don't know if you've read my book, but I have a whole book, a fiction novel dealing with all these themes.
So you explore like upper class white women being smelly.
Yeah.
So, fuck, I'm gonna read that. Okay.
Vaporfornia, and the incels have to experience it in a pretty unusual way.
Oh God. Yeah. All right, let's move on. What was that? Let's see back to these.
Oh, you're looking over the outline?
I am, yeah. I'm trying to think where. I forgot where we left off. We were riffing pretty good. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Oh, we got through most of these. Let's see.
Did we get the class-based C?
Class-based C is in cunnilingus?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you just say it? Just say cunnilingus.
This is my.
You don't like saying it? What are they going to give you?
I don't like writing it down.
Oh, okay. So, wait, did you have like a shame thing around it? Because you said like your first girl. Do you want to get into that?
I don't want to get. I don't really want to get too personal, but I mean, if you want to ask me a question.
Well, I guess just like, is it associated like with shame for you?
No, it's not. Not really. Not really. I think not now, but I think at the time it maybe caused a weird sense, a weird like I wouldn't say a weird psychological reaction to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think. I think oral will definitely has more of a personal sort of. It's easier to like form sort of a shame or guilt.
It's really weird. It kind of overlapped the same period in my life where I went through an anti-Semitic phase.
So, what do you think that caused your anti-Semitism?
It's sort of weird. It's sort of a little bit of both. Like it helped me like get over it, but then at times it sort of it helped me get over it psychologically. But at the same time, it reinforced like certain stereotypes.
Well, that's interesting, is because like I guess being with a Jewess who was like super submissive, like sort of like made me less.
She was the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's like I took out my anger on the Jews, and it's sort of.
What do you think if you had the opposite? How would you think you would have turned out on the JQ?
Like if she had like made me eat her pussy or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have. I mean, I'm just like so sexually dominant. I mean, I'm not trying to make myself seem like a Chad, but I just can't get turned on if I'm in a submissive context at all. I mean, I guess I.
What do you think about like having that arrangement between like the women of the IDF and all these like anti-Semitic like Kuiper incels?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if either side would really want that. I mean, I think that the. Maybe you could get a few of the Kuiper incels into that. I just don't think women are interested in.
Nick Fuentes. If it was done secretly, do you think Nick Fuentes would agree to it?
No, isn't he gay?
Maybe.
I think he is. Yeah, no, I mean, I think I think that this is the sort of thing where individual women might have like some sort of femdom thing where they'll want to get their pussy eaten by an incel because they have like some power. Like I can see that happening. But I think that when it comes to like, it's not scalable because normie women, they really want to submit to a guy who's like higher status than them. And then if he just wants to aggressively eat her pussy, that's fine. But I don't think it's more of a thing that can really scale. Now I think you could have a bunch of Nazis going to like face fuck the IDF Jewesses. I think that can work. I don't think the opposite would.
Do you think this kind of arrangement could solve like income inequality and like class resentment type issues?
How?
If the people, so like the Bernie socialist, they would do that and they would stop having less class resentment.
If they could eat the pussy of an upper class girl?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's smelly, then it probably increase the class resentment, right? But I mean, no, I don't think. I feel like lower class guys are probably like less likely to want to eat pussy in the first place. Well, okay, I guess it depends. If it's like a working class, like rough and tumble guy,
a nerdy like lower middle class guy, but not like a rough and tumble like blue collar guy.
Yeah, I don't know how much this is social class because I feel like nerdy guys have money and they would just like get like a hooker if they want to if they're like submissive want to eat pussy they could just like afford like a nice escort, right? So like I feel like I mean I guess it's specifically maybe like specifically like artsy guys or guys who are like not in like STEM who are still nerdy who are like maybe that's
but again like I'm saying I really this is gonna sound really insane and a bit autistic but I really think it's a niche for like really artsy guys for some reason.
I can see that.
Well, artsy people, like, they're kind of, they're a bit outsiders, but at the same time, they're granted access to, like, upper-class social circles, so it's a weird dynamic.
Right, because, I mean, upper-class people want to convert their financial capital to cultural capital, right? And artists are the way, like, artists, like, sort of will, it's a very, like, sort of fucked up dynamic they have where they sort of, we'll keep the rich people in like sort of the subordinate position, but like sort of, you know, like they make it known to them that they see them as sort of like culturally inferior.
Again, it also fills like a same role, kind of like the fill the role that like the shaman archetype too.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's important for them to maintain their sort of social prestige, to like sort of have like this alternative status hierarchy. So, but because of that, it's like, you know, like I hooked up with this artsy girl who's like, she was very contemptuous of like my AI art. And she was like thinking, like, I was explaining to her that there was nothing I was like I'm curating things like very like rigorously. Like, it's not like I'm just putting a prompt into Suno or something. It's like I'm sort of doing all this multimedia work, but like, she still like had a complete disrespect for it because it's important for these people. I fucking hate them. They need to like maintain like their status hierarchy by fucking, like being gatekeepers, right? So like they'll never let like an outsider come in and like sort of like climb up and establish themselves like within their world. And that's why they'll always, if you are like some sort of like STEM guy who wants to go come in and like fraternize with them, like they'll always sort of keep you at a distance. Like, you can be a patron, but like to the extent that you create art yourself.
STEM guys who are middle class, they might have better incomes, but they struggle to get into those same circles.
Oh yeah, I mean, they definitely look down on you. I mean, like sometimes like the girls will like juice you for money, but like they won't see you as like one of them.
It's like the artsy guys date Jewesses and the STEM guys are date Asian women.
Yeah. See, and that's what sucks for me, is because I'm like a word cell. Like, I was meant to be an artsy guy, but I ended up in STEM. So it's like, I'm sort of like going for like the artsy girls, but it's like, I'm sort of used to like pursuing women like in the STEM way. And it's kind of like, it creates like this sort of like dissonance. But yeah,
this is off topic, but what do you make? I think you may have interviewed him, but what do you make of Pilliter's Asian-Aryanism?
I guess, like, the thing is...
He's fulfilling his sexual imperative into politics.
Oh, no, definitely. Like, he's turned his fetish into a total ideology, which I love. I guess, like, my thing about that is that I feel like these days, Northeast Asians are... you know, I need to, like, review the interview with him to get all of his points again. But I feel like Northeast Asians have reached a level of parity with white people that it sort of like, interrupts that power dynamic that we traditionally had, that sort of made it sort of fetishistic or whatever. Whereas I feel like to get that same thing these days, you'd have to go to, like, a brown woman from, like, Southeast Asia. If you don't like the power dynamic aspect of it, and you know, like, you do sort of see it as... But, I mean, I think he still wants it to be a sort of male...
Well, Pilliter, actually, like, he's really in favor of, like, white female Asian male couples, too. Which is, which is interesting, yeah. Because it's different from what you would get from a lot of the more alt-right type guys who are into Asian women. Like, he's really big in promoting the other gender arrangement.
Is that okay? So, like, is the whole being into Asian girls, like, I feel like that's something more among... So you're like 10 years older than me, right? Like, what year were you born?
I'm born in 85.
Okay, yeah, I was born in 93. So it's okay. So like 8. So like, I feel like it's like older millennial and like Gen X guys who really love the Asian girls. But I feel like guys my age and like a little younger, like I feel like it was more exotic around your time, right? Like Asians, whereas I feel like it was just like Asian shit was everywhere by the time I was like sort of coming of age. So it just really seemed exotic to me, I guess. It just never had any appeal. I'm like only into white girls, which is sort of sad, because I feel like there's like a lot of opportunities
for Jewish guys.
Well, yeah, I see them as, yeah, well, they're like hyper white in a way. Like, I feel like there's something very, like, intrinsically, like, white, you know, about being a word cell. And, like, because Jews are so, like, in a sense, they're, like, more Faustian, they're more wordy, they're more, like, all the things that I associate with whiteness, like, Jews.
Neurotic.
Like, yeah, exactly. They're, like, more of that. No, but the thing is, I think that, like, the things I associate with whiteness aren't necessarily what, like, some German guy in Nebraska would associate with whiteness. He'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not neurotic. I'm not a word cell. You know, like, they'd probably think of whiteness as, like, I don't even know what they think of it as, because like, to me, the thing that differentiates us from Asians is being like sort of like more Jewy. I don't know.
What do you think? Because some of the racists who were into like the yellow, old school, like yellow apparel racism, like they talk about like the Chinese as if like the same way they talk about the Jewish stereotypes, but they're very different.
I think if they're like, they have the similarity of being like a middleman minority who's like really focused on making money.
But they're more, well, like South Asians, maybe are a bit
the
more.
The British, like, are the same, right?
Like, Jews, but like East Asians tend to be less overtly political in their diaspora and more kind of content being like upper middle class and more conformist.
Yeah, though, like Jews are, Asians are starting to act a bit more like Jews, certainly.
That's true.
Especially like the like young women and stuff. Like the guys, I don't think really give a
shit. It's weird, but, like, because Jews are becoming like less Jewish and more like regular white people. Like, it's amazing, like, we talked about this before, but amazing how many, like, how much assimilation there's been. Like, so many like Jewish Zoomers are all practically indistinguishable from like regular white people culturally.
They're like Italian, yeah, and like, right. Now the real Jews are like Chinese and like Indian, like, girls in their 20s, you know, like
we have in LA, we have a lot of Middle Eastern Jews, too, from Iran.
Okay, what are they like?
They're very, very mercantile, very, very clannish. They're right-wing politically, a lot of them like Trump. I guess the way to contrast them, but much more ethnocentric. Really, they like have like really opulent, like big mansions. Maybe, maybe the way like to contrast the two is like the Vaishya versus Brahmin distinction.
Oh, and so they're kind of like Armenians.
Yeah, very much so. And they don't like date or marry outside their group.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Do you think that like is that?
And they also really, they're really a lot of them are really pro Trump. And they were also going at the pro-Israel rally in L.A. at UCLA. Like, they were getting into, like, physical altercations with the anti-Israel protesters, which Ashkenazi guys are, like, less likely to do.
Yeah, I don't see, like, Ashkenazi guys going in and fighting. No, I don't know, because Ancient Problems is Ashkenazi, I guess. And he's made the point that a lot of Jews are kind of, like, downwardly mobile or just kind of assimilating into the general white,
You know what I have noticed? I've actually had, like, Jewish friends and acquaintances from my life. I've noticed in some cases you do see like they come from a fairly wealthy background, and you actually are noticing in some cases some degree of downward mobility. Like maybe I think there's the meme, like maybe the dad is like a high powered lawyer and his son goes into liberal arts.
Yeah, like sometimes they're like wiggers.
Oh right. That's more of I heard that's an East Coast thing.
Yeah, yeah. I see it sometimes in Florida. The Florida Jews and like New York Jews are totally different, right?
There's
and,
more like the East Coast, I think, is more like working class Jews, but you know, we didn't really get a lot of in LA.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess there's probably a lot of like lawyers and entertainment people out there.
Right.
So it's probably just a different sort of that's interesting. It's like a different sort of I think like Italian too, right? Like I know the Italians on the West Coast, they tend to be like Northern Italians. So they'll be like blonde.
Yeah, that's true. The Italians in California, like a lot of Northern Italians went to San Francisco.
It'll be like Nancy Pelosi. Right. It was like a totally, that's not, you know, totally different from like the Tony.
You don't really have a Guido culture as much, even though there's a lot of Italians.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting how the whole like Guido culture, it comes from like South Italy, right? Which is like, I think you saw like Under the Tuscan Sun and stuff like you saw more of a focus on like Central and North Italy, like in the early aughts. And it was kind of a lot of that came out of California. You know, there was kind of like a cultural sort of boom in that area.
Oh, yeah, like the Italians, they founded like the wine industry in Napa.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. That makes sense. Well, because if you think about it, the like climate of California is very similar to Italy, you know, especially with like the hills and everything. And I mean, it's it could be like, I remember whenever I would make the drive from Phoenix to LA as a kid, like there'd be like that part in the middle.
Well, I was in Phoenix over the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, how was it?
I was there briefly. Like, I don't know if you've been to Sedona. I went to Sedona.
Probably did at some point as a kid, but I mostly stayed in my area. Yeah.
Part of Phoenix did you grow up in?
I grew up in Mesa, but then I moved to Glendale sometime like in middle school. And then I lived in Scottsdale for a year when I was like wage cucking when I first started. So, you know, I've been all over, but it was, they say it's like, it's similar to LA, but like 10 or 15 years behind.
It made me think of Las Vegas, but without the strip and like a lot more sprawl.
I could see the comparison, yeah. I mean, that's the thing about any of these, like...
And also the downtown. I heard Tempe, which the college town is the main, like, urban area. But I drove for the downtown, and it looked kind of dead.
Yeah, I was going to, like, potentially get an internship there, but I ended up not doing it. But, yeah, I mean, like, really, like, Arizona is about, like, nice suburbs, right? Like, there's, like, no one goes to Arizona to, like, live in the city. Like, that would be kind of weird, right?
Right.
You know, but there's a ton of, like, rich people, like, really rich people, like, out in the suburbs. But, like, there's kind of, like... I don't know.
I've heard it's like super the wealthy in Arizona and Phoenix. It's like super like nouveau riche.
Oh, it's like the worst in the entire country. Absolutely. Yeah. And like what I like about Florida is that it's like it has a similar vibe to Arizona and that like nobody's like from there. But it's also like it's a little like classier in the sense of I know nobody thinks of Florida as classy, but it's like at least in Florida, they know, like, we all know we're nouveau riche, and we all know we're trashy, and that's the point. Whereas in Arizona, like, those people, like, really, like, they'll put, like, Roman statues out on their fucking lawn, and, like, they'll think that they're, like, a fucking aristocrat, right? Like, you have all these, like, realtor women who, like, marry some, like, 50-year-old, like, rich guy, and then, like, go to, like, the lake all the time, and they'll be, like, lake culture, and they'll think of themselves as, like, yeah, but like, and these are women who are like super fucking trashy, but they think of themselves as like literally fucking aristocrats. It's the pretension that I hate. You know, just like embrace that you're trashy and rich. It's fine. But like, and in Florida, we'll do that, right? It's like we know that we're fucking, you know, in Arizona, there's like just that pretense to it. And like that's what I don't like about it. Because
there is the shadow of LA, which makes it weird.
Well, no, exactly. They want to be LA, and they want to be, well, like, there's the whole culture in Arizona too of like I think like Logan Paul is from there or whatever. Like there's a lot of like social media stars are in Phoenix, right? And there's a certain like, in the same way, you know how like Boston has an inferiority complex with New York? I think Phoenix is the same thing with LA. It's like the same dynamic, right? So
it's sort of like San Diego, you don't get that. San Diego embraces, they view themselves as like a nicer, cleaner place in LA. Like they don't have that inferiority complex.
Yeah, because it's like if you go to San Diego, it's like you're not trying to like make money. It's like you're you know, you just kind of want to chill and like surf and go smoke some weed or whatever. It's like, you know, it's well, San Diego's like right on the border too, right?
Yeah, I haven't been to Mexico, but I have been to the border. So like my friend and I got yelled at by the border patrol because some Mexican guy wanted us to take his picture with his cell phone through like the border fence there, and the border guards like reprimanded us.
I wonder if there's ever any like sort of trafficking or like weird sort of things that go on like that. That's kind of I don't know.
Probably
like,
are.
Could you smuggle shit through a phone? Or,
it's
I don't know.
Weird because it's this big gate that is fairly, that has these open slots, but then it does have the border guards there watching.
Hmm. Wait, like how interspersed are they? Like how frequently are they posted?
Oh, you mean the where the border guards are?
They're, yeah, yeah. I mean, are they like?
Yeah, there's a huge presence of border guards.
Is it just in like the city or is it in the?
Oh like, no, at the border, not so much. I don't know how much.
Well, no, I mean, like when you get out into like the more rural areas out like eastern, you know, of San Diego, like, do you still see those guys? I don't know if you know, but I'm just curious.
I've heard in some of the rural areas closer to the border, like right now, there's like a big migrant crisis, so it's much more intense now.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess the migrant like border crossings have been like way up over the past few years. I could see the need for that. Let's see, what else were we going to talk about? Let me go back to this outline. See what?
Yeah,
else
we did go off. on tangent, but that's fine.
Looks. You want to talk about the looks hierarchy?
Yeah. Do you think the person receiving oral there should be like entrenched into law that they have to be much more attractive?
Entrenched into law?
Okay, culturally enforced. The person receiving has to be much more attractive.
I mean, I think attractiveness is like one kind of status. I mean, I think when you say like in the culture, I mean, I think in practice, let me think about this.
Unless the couple is looks matched.
I know. I mean, I guess in my relationships, looks have never mattered that much. In fact, it was like usually the point that the girl was much better looking than me. But and like I sort of got off on that, right? The fact that there's something just fun about being like kind of a neckbeard, like running around like with like a girl who's much better looking than you, and sort of like rubbing it in people's faces, just like rubbing your balls in them. I guess like what I would say is with a girl, it hasn't been so much a function of looks as much as a function of maybe a combination of like looks, education, social class, like general, like how assertive were they? And, you know, a girl who's just very sort of meek and who's like working class and who's, you know, I mean, like maybe like a bit better looking than me, but not like, you know, super like, you know, I could just like Facebook or whatever I want. Whereas, you know, like my first girlfriend who was, you know, like definitely better looking than me, but also just like much higher social class. And like the thing I was really bringing to the table was I was Walt Bismarck. Like I really had to like work to hook up with her whenever it happened. You know, I had to like put in the effort to like be attractive, and I had romance her and like do the whole game thing. Whereas like with if I'm with a girl who's like more working class, I don't know. It's just sort of though these days, I mean, I just kind of comport myself better. And I think it just really depends on like how you date and like what your style is. Like some guys, they rely on their looks a lot, and then some guys don't rely on their looks at all, you know?
Do you think like with the whole like age gap thing, I think the opposition is that there's an assumption that the older partner could receive oral sex and how would they feel about the other way with the older partner performing.
So you think that like if it's like a 30-year-old guy with like an 18-year-old girl, like people would think it's uncouth for her to suck his cock, whereas it's okay if he eats her pussy or something?
Do you think that's like the origin of like the controversy, or do you think it wouldn't make any difference?
I don't know if people are thinking that far into it. Though I will say, I mean, it's interesting to think like why people are opposed to it. Like, who's the opposition coming from, right? Because I think it comes more from men.
I think it's a three thing. Well, there's men who can't pull it off and who are jealous. There are older women who don't want the competition. And then I think this gets ignored, but there is opposition. There's a segment of like younger Zoomer women who also really hate it.
Okay, so what I found is that Zoomer women are very bifurcated, half and half. Like half of them think that like age gaps are like pedophilia, and then half of them are like really into like the daddy, you know, fuck me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think millennials, like with millennials, there's a sense of a kind of normie like life script. Like Zoomers seem totally bifurcated.
Right. Well, and I feel like with millennial, at least like millennial women back like 20 or like 15 years ago, like they they would date like Gen X guys and they would say like, oh, age is just a number. It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? And like for them, it wasn't like they would downplay it and they would like to like act like they were, you know, they had met. It was like Reagan Arndt's Gray, the whole like attitude of like, you know, like I have like the maximal agency and I'm an adult and I can, you know, like they would sort of like they play up that angle. Whereas I feel like with Zoomer girls, like whether they are the sex negative type or the like fuck me daddy type, either way, they downplay their own agency and act like more of a kid. And I feel like a lot of Gen Z women like legitimately feel like they're a child until they're like 25. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean they're opposed to age gaps. But if they're like not against age gaps, it's because they want you to be their daddy. Right. It's like they don't just see you as
like, right.
Like no 20-year-old Zoomer girl is going to date like a 30-year-old guy. And just it's just like they would never say like age is just a number. Right. Like that's like a very retarded millennial woman thing to say.
Again, like it is more, I think they're more aware of, even if they're left wing, they're more aware of hierarchies. Hey, I think left wing people think in terms of hierarchies too. It's just more, there's this sort of like normie person who's neither super right wing or left wing who doesn't like to think about these social hierarchical dynamics.
It's very much a, okay, so here's what I found, is that millennial women, especially like upper middle class and like normie millennial women, again, the Reagan type, right? They hate discussing power dynamics. They hate discussing status. They'll punish you for doing it. They want to minimize, like they have this like sort of like leveling impulse, but it's leveling in the sense of like you deny that the hierarchy exists in the first place. And they'll say like, oh, you're just overthinking it, right? They fucking love to say that. Whereas Zoomer women, they love like exploring all the different status hierarchies and all the different power dynamics and like leaning into it. Either they're...
Well, wokeness, ironically, it's like that meme, the trope, the woke are more correct than the mainstream. Like, oh, wokeness opened up a Pandora's box to talk more explicitly about power dynamics and hierarchies.
Yeah, which is like, that's probably why I kind of did the right-wing Dworkinism of like embracing it and leaning into it. And there's a sense in which I've kind of moved away from that, in which, I don't know, like there's part of me that wants like to sort of be with a woman who's my own age and social class and have something. I mean, I still want to be dominant, but I still want, I don't know, like because I've dated a lot of girls who are probably sort of below me intellectually. And I kind of like the idea of having someone who's more of a partner, someone who can be like a force multiplier. So, you know, there's part of me that's in that impulse. But then there's also a part of me that it feels like a lot of people just don't understand the eroticism and the appeal of just having a sort of non-traditional sexual script where you are just in complete control and where the girl enjoys that. And it's not just like a BDSM performative thing where it's like you're sort of playing
a
dynamic, but it's like intrinsic in the relationship because like you're paying her rent. Like a lot of guys who call themselves like doms, right? A lot of guys in the BDSM community, like they'll act like that's predatory and nefarious or some way, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like better and I think women enjoy it. Though, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily like what I want to do long term, but I think it's like an alternative that needs to be explored and needs to be made. And there needs to like, I want to make space for it. And I want like guys in my community who want to explore that with job stacking to like have that as an option, you know?
I think one more thing I want to cover about this is the metaphysical component to oral sex and how it's sort of like there's a component of alchemy and that there's like the spiritual HBD. And I believe that like spirituality is linked to genetics and people are literally consuming genetics. So I'm going to get called like a quack and promoting pseudoscience, but I actually like literally believe that it does change people's genetics and it relates to stuff like Crowleyan sex magic, but also how people can become almost a bit more like the other person. So you could see, even say changing their race or gender a bit.
This is like microchimerism?
DNA. Yeah. So yeah. But I'm saying even if you reject the alchemical part, I think like someone taking like the sperm, consuming like large quantities of sperm from a group that's genetically different it's important symbolically. But I do think like, I think the spiritual HBD means that people should be like more cautious about this. So I think like a blank slate of society will take this more lightly. So again, like I think I said, like not to be, people will say like what we're talking about is a bit degenerate, but I think it should be because of those factors of like the genetics and spiritual HBD. I think it should actually be taken much more seriously than it is.
Yeah, but I think we should also like be willing to laugh at ourselves and be willing. I mean, there is like,
that too.
Like look, I'm gonna be juvenile about it and just say that like, I don't know. Like there is something just funny about thinking like a girl, like how much of your cum she's eating is going to like influence her personality. Right. Like that is just sort of funny. But I mean, I think there's something, what I will say is this, when a woman like spits, there's a certain sense in which it feels like she's rejecting your essence. And it's kind of like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Whereas when a woman swallows, there's a sense in which she's, I don't know if there's like actually an alchemical thing, or maybe we could say we could use the alchemical thing as like a myth to sort of represent what's actually going on, which is she's sort of accepting your essence. And in a sense, like there's no way you can avoid the fact that she's going to like absorb some of your personality in a sense, right? Because women just sort of will do that. Like when they're around you long enough, if they're attracted enough to you and respect you, they'll sort of like absorb part of your character and, you know, you're going to leave an indelible mark on them. I think that in practice, I think the reason you might think this and the reason this is like really functionally speaking true, I don't know like the causal relationship, but I think that the sort of girl who gets in a relationship with you where she like spits is doesn't respect you enough or isn't attractive enough to you that she is going to absorb you as much as a girl who swallows. That's what I would say. So I think there is, and you know, probably reciprocally when it comes to eating pussy, there's probably, you know, some kind of similar dynamic. I think if you are going to eat a girl's pussy, you probably are. What I'll say is this, is that I've only wanted to, so I've been with like probably like 117 girls, I think. And I think that of all those, I've only wanted to eat 5 of their pussies. But it was only those 5 girls who I was like into enough that I like wanted to do that. And I think that in that sense, like those are sort of the girls who could influence me subliminally in certain ways, right? In the sense that I would do much more for them than I would the girls who I didn't want to do that for. Now, ironically, one of those girls didn't even want me to eat her pussy. It was kind of fucking annoying. It was kind of a weird Chinese finger trap power dynamic. But my point is, there's a sense in which a man wanting to eat a girl's pussy or a girl wanting to swallow a guy's cum, there's a sense in which that does sort of just mean that they're more involved or more influenced, right?
So I think Ed Dedden has a video on the evolutionary reasons, and he actually, if you know who he is, Ed Dedden, the Jolly Heretic, he makes the case that it's a signal of people who are evolutionary adapted to be more K-selected.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. So you're saying that they would spit if they are selected?
Just in general with that, it's...
With oral?
Yeah, it's people who are more are selected, they're more, increases like pair bonding. Increases lower risks of infidelity and higher increases chance of pregnancy. So it is hyper. He says it's hyper case selected.
I feel like there's a way in which, I don't know. I think there's like subcultures that form around different sexual practices or different like attitudes. There's a way in which I think a lot of guys, they might feel like if they just get head from a girl, like they don't owe her as much as if they like slept with her. Like there's a sense in which,
in that sense, it could be very R selected.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I don't know if you feel this way, but like, I mean, I've been promiscuous, but I still feel a sense in which like, I feel like sort of like protective towards girls I've hooked up with in the past, even if it was just a hookup, you know what I mean? And, but if they just like suck my dick, like, I don't know if I'd feel the same way. Right. Like it's sort of like, you know what I mean? Like, cause it's not as, I mean, like what do you think though? Like as a man, when you receive like fellatio, like is that like more exposed or more vulnerable or is it less so?
I think it could be both. That sounds like a cop-out, but I seriously do think it could be both depending on the circumstances.
I agree. I think if you're like face fucking her and you're just being very dominant, it's like, I think that's kind of like a way to just sort of masturbate with a woman's body. Whereas, you know, if she's being more sort of agentic and active in it, it's probably more vulnerable.
So we're close to the end of the show. Walt, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we got through most of this. Hopefully I won't scare away any of the trads or whatever. I mean, I think we were generally pretty classy. You were actually much classier than I was. You know, I'm a bit body when it comes to this sort of stuff. So, you know, I was proud of you, but I think we covered everything we wanted to. Anything else you wanted to hit on?
No, I think I got most of the points. I think one more thing is I think it would be interesting if like tribes or political ideologies like form out of this.
I think they already kind of have. I mean, like not oral sex specifically, but when it comes to different sexual subcultures, definitely have a certain political balance.
Polyamory is like the most blatant example of that.
It is, yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to like create like a better sort of subculture around sugaring that's a little less trashy and a bit more, you know, like based around like polygyny in a more, I don't know, just so it feels like a little less shabby, right? And that like sort of like more like higher status women would be sort of more amenable to it with you know, I wanted to create something similar that you saw with polyamory, but I don't know if that's still the direction I want to go in. But I mean, I think that like people who do, the problem is whenever you get involved in this, everyone's just going to be like, oh, you're trying to turn your fetish into a political ideology. But it's like, to a certain extent, I feel like everyone's doing that. They're just like pretending, you know, some people are just much more vanilla.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
why not be blatant about it?
That's how I feel, right? But then it's like, you know, like the people who are the most vanilla will just shame the people who are the most kinky. And then, you know, it's sort of like this natural disequilibrium. And it's like, it's an open question as to whether it's even worth it. But I mean, I'm glad we had the conversation. It was interesting.
Yeah, great show. Walt Bismarck, thanks so much for being on and interviewing me.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to have you. We'll touch base soon. Have a good one.